Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen.
Daf Lamed Tet. Today's daf has been dedicated anonymously for the Fuah Shedema Aliza Batsara. El Narefan Allah Betoch She'ar Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Ainu Nishmat Acham Baruch, Rafael Ben Miriam, and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Eden. Amen. And also for the Fuah Shedema, Yaakov Ben Alvira. Enna refanalo betoch she'ar chole amo Yisrael. Amen.
Amen.
We are starting on the top of Lamed Tet, right at the Mishnah. Our Mishnah discusses now the obligation of eating maror on Pesach. Just like eating matzah on Leil Pesach as a mitzvat aseh, so too, achilat maror is a mitzvat aseh as well. Now that was only at the time that there was Korban Pesach. That's what the Rambam says. When there was Korban Pesach, then already Maror was Deoraita. Now today that there is no Korban Pesach, so Maror is Midrabbanan. So the Mishnah now is going to discuss the different foods or vegetables that one can eat and be Yotzeh, his obligation of Maror.
ואלו ירקות שאדם יוצא בהם ידי חובתו בפסח.
And these are the vegetables that one fulfills his obligation in maror on Pesach.
מחזרת.
Okay, חזרת is one type of lettuce, which the Gemara will explain. Actually, we will wait for the Gemara to explain all these terminologies.
בתמחה. בחרחבינה ובעולשין ובמרור.
She says right away, כולו מפרש בגמרא.
יוצאין בהן בין לחין בין יבשין.
You are יוצא with these types of maror, whether they are moist, or even if they are dried up.
אבל לא כבושין.
But not if they are pickled, for example, in vinegar.
ולא שילוקין.
That means they are very cooked, until they become almost like disintegrated.
Ve'lo mevushalim,
nor regular cooked. The Mishnah is saying a technique of lo zu avzu, ve'in sarich zu, which means the Mishnah is telling you the bigger hidush first, and then going back to telling you the obvious, which means if you're ready, you cannot use, it says you cannot use shilukin, which means where it's very cooked, and then it's coming along and saying, and even if it's not very cooked, just mevushalim, also you are not yotze.
Ve'lo shilukin, ve'lo mevushalim.
Umitztarfin lekezayit. You're able to take any of these five types of maror that we mentioned, and mitztaref them, combine them to get to the shi'ur of a kezayit. That's the minimum shi'ur you have to eat on the night of Pesach.
Ve'yotzin bekelach shelahen.
Furthermore, you can be yotze with the stalk, which means the kelach would be the there's leaves. When you take the leaves off, that's the stalk that the leaves grow on, is called a kelach. So you don't only yotze with the leaves themselves, but even the kelach, you can be yotze.
Ubedemai.
Furthermore, if the maror comes from demai, that's from fruit that is a safek, if ma'asir was given or not, for example, you bought maror from an ama'aris, therefore we say it's okay. As we learned in the previous Mishnah, since every person can become viable to eat demai, really demai, the rabbis were only lenient to feed it to the aniim. But since every person potentially can make himself an ani by making his assets hefker, so therefore demai is ra'utim, so therefore you can be yotze with demai.
ומעשר ראשון שנטלה תרומתו.
and Maaser Rishon that the Levi took, and he gave his Terumat Maaser to the Kohen. Remember, the Levi has to give Maaser Min HaMaaser to the Kohen. So the Hadush of the Mishnah is, even though he didn't give Terumah Gedola, right, he didn't give the 2%, but what the case was talking about, where he went to the field and he took his share before the Hayuv of Terumah Gedola hit. For example, he took it when they were still in the field, in the stalks, before they actually made Miruach Hakli, before they made bundles out of it. Exactly. U'ma'asir shini v'gdesh shenifdu. Well, for that matter, if the maror is from ma'asir sheni, or it was from consecrated property, the person made the maror hekdesh, and he redeemed it, so then it's also considered, okay, the hadush of the Mishnah is that even though they didn't make a proper redemption, because normally when you redeem ma'asir sheni or hekdesh, you have to add a fifth, you have to add 20% to the redemption. The hadush of the Mishnah, as we learned earlier, even though you didn't add the fifth, the hekdesh, the pidyon is considered a pinyon, and therefore the maror is considered hulin, and they will be permissible to eat it on Pesach. Comes the Gemara, begins. Hazeret, what is this item that the Mishnah says hazeret? Hasa. Hasa would be, we would call lettuce. Ulshin, hindibi. Hindibi, according to some opinions, is what we would call endives. Tamcha, amarava, barbar hanna, Tamcheta Shema. In Aramaic, it's called Tamcheta. Some of the opinions, we would call it horseradish. Harhavina, that was the third item in the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Asvata de Dekla. That she says, Siv Hagadel benichrak Saviv Ladekel, Shekurim Vidila. That's a certain type of grass that grows around the palm tree, and it also has a bitter taste, and it gives you the name of it, and that's what this item is called, harhavina. Ubmaror, and maror, maror would be mirirta. Okay, that would be the name of that. That she gives the name of it, amir puil, the he puprats. Okay, he gives you the word, whatever that item is. Huh? Tane Bar Kapara. We have a bright on the name of Bar Kapara. Elu Yirakot She'adam Yotze Bahen Yedei Chovato BaPesach. The following vegetables, a person is Yotze Yedei Chovato on Pesach. Ulshin Rashi, did he tell us what olshin are? Yeah, that's the type of endives, as we said. Ubetamcha, that was the horseradish. Beharhalin, that she says, lo itparesh shemo. He doesn't know what harhalin is. Beharhabinin, harhabinin, we explained, is this asvatad dekla. That's the grass that grows around the vine, that grows around the tree. Ubehizrin. Hazrin would be a type of hazeret, which would be hasa, which would be the lettuce. Hazarin. Rav Yehuda omer, af ulshe sadeh ve'ulshe gina v'hazeret. Rav Yehuda says, even the ulshin, the endives that grow in the field, or the wild endives, ve'ulshe gina, those are the endives that grow in the garden endives, v'hazeret, as well as hazeret. So the Gemara says, "Olshe gina v'hazeret hatana laresha," which means the first opinion of the Braita, it said clearly that you yotze with olshin. Now, from the fact that it says olshin, it means all types of olshin. They're going to make a haluk, whether it's olshin from the sadeh or whether it's olshin from the gina. And furthermore, the first opinion also mentioned hazeret. So what is Rabbi Yehuda coming to include by saying even olshin of the sadeh and even olshin of the gina? That was discussed already by Tarakama as well as Hazeret. Gemara answers, Haki Kamar. Af ulshe sadeh ki ulshe gina v'hazeret. Rashi. Ulshe sadeh afalgav de yeshlem shem levai, which means, even though they have a surname to them,
which means it's not called Olchin. This type of Olchin is called Olche Sadeh. It's got a last name to them. Haren ke Olche Gina, which means Olche Gina, the garden Olchin, is just called Olchin. Well, when you say Olchin, it means garden. So you might have thought that Olche Sadeh, since it has an extra name to it, it's not included in the permissibility to use it for Maror. So the Yudah comes along and says, no, Olche Sadeh has the same status as Olche Gina and Hazeret, which means just like those two items are legal for Maror, so to Olche Sadeh as well. So basically he was coming to include Olche Sadeh. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Af Asvas Vetura Umar Yiruar. He includes three more type of vegetables. Asvas, that she doesn't give us a hint. He just says Mine Yirakot, types of vegetables. Tura and Mar Yiruar. Amar le Rabbi Yoseh. So Rabbi Yoseh comes along and says, Asvas v'tura ehadu. He says, Asvas and tura, they're the same thing. It's not two different vegetables, it's one item. Umar zehu yiru'ar. And that item that's called mar is actually yiru'ar. So technically the bimir only added two extra vegetables. Mar, which is yiru'ar, and the asvas, which is tura. Tana de Besh Shemuel. Elu yirakot she'adam yotze bem yedei chovato b'pesach. Again, he gives his list of vegetables that you yotze yedei chova on Pesach with the maror. Mahazeret. So hazeret, we explained already, was hassa, that's the lettuce. Me'olshin, which said is endives. Ptamchas, horseradish. Harhabinin, we said that's the sieve around the deke, that's the vine that grows around the palm tree. Harginin. Harginin could be from the oregano plant, yes. Ubehardufnin. Hardufnin, Rashi says, yesh mefarshim alushina. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af hazeret yulin. You could also use the yulin hazeret. The hazeret galin. Those are different type of lettuces. Okay? Keyotzebahin, which means are similar to them, meaning they are kosher. Rabbi Il'a Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Af Arkebalim. He come along and added Arkebalim. Rashi says that would be called Asvata Harzaita, which is a big vine, and it's a thick vine that grows, and it's its own species. So the Gemara is coming along and saying that in the name of Rabbi Elazar, he included Arkebalim to use as Maror. The Gemara says, "V'hazalti al kol talmidav." This is Rabbi Elazar saying. He says, "I went to all the students of Rabbi Elazar, ubikashti li haver." And I tried to find somebody to support me that the Rabbi Elazar really held Arkebalim can be used for Maror. I was looking for a friend. Velo matati. And nobody could confirm that he said it. Ushebati lifnei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov hoda lidvarai. When I came to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he agreed to me. So therefore, I had the confirmation that the Rabbi Elazar really did say Arkebalim can be yotze for Maror. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol sheyesh lo sraf. Rabbi Yehuda gives a klal. Anything that when you squeeze it, when you cut it, you squeeze it, comes like a sap, a white sap, like milk, comes out of it, rest assured you could use that item for maror. That's the litmus test of the Yehuda. It's got sraf when you cut it and squeeze it, it's considered bitter enough, you can count it as maror. Rabbi Yohanan ben Beruka Omer, kol shepanav maksifin. Any type of vegetable that is maksifin is whitened, meaning it's not totally green. The green is like faded, it's like a light green. That would be considered kasher for maror.
Ahirim Omrim. Others say, now Ahirim usually is Ibi Mihir. Now I saw an interesting Tosfot and Sota. He says that Rabbi Meir sometimes is called Rabbi Meir and sometimes he's called Ahirim. Whenever he's quoting his rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, they refer to him as Ahirim. Because he really learned from a rabbi that eventually swayed off the path, and the rabbis were not too happy about that. Whenever he's quoting himself, then they refer to him as Rabbi Meir. So that'll be a clown, important clown to remember. Wow. Anyway, Ahirim Omrim, Kol Yarak Mar. Yesh lo saraf upanav machsifim. He comes along and says, any bitter vegetable has both. Has saraf comes out of it, and also is whitened. It's not totally green. Now she says, tarvayu itle. Which means he says, you need both. Yesh lo saraf upanav machsifim behenim simane maror. Those are the telltale signs of maror. Amar Rabbi Yohanan, from everybody, from all these cases that we've seen, we could learn. Yarak mar yesh lo saraf upanav machsifin. You learn a principle over here that bitter vegetables have sap that come out of it, and also are white in their pale. Amar avuna halacha ke achirim. That what halacha follows achirim, that you need saraf and panav machsifin, and that be considered maror. Ravina ashkeche l'rav acha bered derava. Ravina found Ravacha, the son of Rava, v'hava mehader amrirta. He was going after this puprats for the maror. He was careful to use this item. Amar le, ma'i da'atech? What's your opinion? Dimiririn tafeh? Well, what are you going after that one for? You think that's the most bitter out of all of them? If you look at the Mishnah, the first example for Maror was Hazeret. And the assumption is it's giving it to us in order of bitterness. And therefore, Hazeret is better. And also the bright that Shemuel brought, it also said as the first one, Hazeret. So Amar Rav Hoshaya confirmed and said, Mitzvah b'Hazeret. Ve'amar Rava, my hazeret. And we learned earlier, what is hazeret? Hasa. My hasa. Why is hasa the best one to use? The has rachmana ilavan. Because God had mercy on the Jewish people when we were in Egypt. So therefore, besides the bitterness of it, you have that lashon of has. And therefore it's, she says, Alma lehachi kaima. That's why it was created, to eat on Pesach, in order to remember the Rahmanut, the Has, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had on Bnei Yisrael. Kazu Gemaran says, V'amar Rav Shlomo, Rahmanim Rav Yonatan, Lama nimshelu misriyim kemaror? Why were the Egyptians compared to maror, bitter? Because the Pasuk says, V'imareru et hayehem. It says, Loma alecha, to teach you, ma maror ze, shetihilato rach v'sofo kashe. Just like maror, it starts off soft. But if you leave it on the tree, or you leave it in the ground, I should say, it hardens up. The stalk becomes hard. So too, at misriyim, tihilato raka v'sofan kashe. Which means, the Egyptians also started off with their tactics very soft. They offered to pay Bnei Yisrael for their work, and their production, and eventually they roped us in Pramuda Kasha. So therefore, the Egyptians are similar to Maror. You know, the more you leave it, it hardens. It starts off soft and it hardens. In any event, Amar Le Hadribi. So the rabbi said, I retract. Meaning, Ravaha Bered Rava, when he heard all this, said, okay, I made a mistake. I retract. I'm not eating the Memrita. I'm going to have the Hazeret. Amar le Rav Rehumi la Abaye. Rav Rehumi comes to Abaye. Mimai dai maror min yaraku. Who told you that maror is even a vegetable? Ema mirta dechufia. Maybe it's the mara, which I guess would be the gall of a fish. Yeah, the kufia fish. That, I mean, that's a bitter bitter item. So who told, why all of a sudden you're jumping to bitter vegetables? Don't say anything about vegetables. So maybe they want you to eat the gall of a fish that's very bitter. They say that this fish over here would be the, some say it's the gall of an animal, and some say it's a fish that they call the shibuta. As we learned in Masechet Shabbat, that would be the kulyasa ispanim. Okay? Now, comes the Gemara and says, you know why we know it's got to be a vegetable? Dumya de matzah. Because it's similar to matzah, because the Pasuk says, al matzot umrurim. The Torah juxtaposes matzah and maror together. Ma matzah gidule karka. Just like we know matzah grows from the ground, meaning it's wheat. Afmaror gidule karka. So to maror, it's got to be something that comes from the ground. Ve'ema hirduf. Oh, so something comes on the ground, maybe it's hirduf. What is hirduf? Rashi says, it's. That's a special tree. Shimtik bo Moshe et me mara. If you remember when Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people were in the desert, they got to a place called Mara where the waters were very bitter. And Moshe Rabbeinu threw a piece of wood into the waters, a branch, and it says, Vayimtiku amayim. And the Gemara tells us that this branch that he threw in was the Hirdof branch, which is very bitter. And therefore the Gemara says, Nes betoch nes. It was a miracle within a miracle, that the bitter was able to make the bitter waters sweet. In any event, maybe it's referring to that. When you grow on the ground like matzah, and therefore it's bitter, so therefore maybe you have to chew on this Hirdof wood. Gemara says, no, dumyad de matzah. It's got to be similar to matzah. Ma matzah min zira'im, ap maror min zira'im. Just like matzah is a seed, so too maror has to be from a seed as opposed to a tree. I think it's a plant, it's an herb, herbage. So therefore, it's got to be like matzah. Ve'ema hirzifu. Maybe it's the hirzifu herb, as she says, that incidentally happens to be poisonous for animals. But I guess it can be ingested by human beings. So it's got the qualities. It grows from the ground. It's considered a zera. And therefore maybe that's the item you have to eat from maror. Dumyad de matzah. Again, it's got to be similar to matzah. Ma matzah shenikrit bekesef ma'aser. Meaning, if a person has money of ma'aser, right? So the law is he has to buy something that is considered a food. It's got to be considered an ochel. And they learn that from the pasuk, v'natata kesef b'chol asher taveh nafshecha. Whatever you desire, which means whatever is considered an edible. And therefore, just like matzah would be considered an edible, that if you wanted to redeem your ma'aser money, you could buy matzah, ap maror, shenikach b'kesef ma'aser. So to the maror has to be an edible that can be bought with case of a ma'aser. This hirzifu is not considered really a food. And therefore, it's not a shayach, not similar to matzah, definitely not yotzebo. Amar le rabba barav chanin abaye. Ema maror had. Who told you get all these options? Hazere, tamkhar, hadina, ochin. Maybe there's only one style of maror that you can be yotze with. Who told you get all these options? So the Gemara says, Merorim Ketiv. Well, the Pasuk says, Al Matzot Umrorim. Merorim is plural. So the Gemara says, fine, Be'ema Merorim Tre. So maybe there's only two items. Like the minimum plurality is two. Dumyad de Matzah. So again, similar to Matzah. Ma Matzah Minin Herbe, Aparor Minin Herbe. Just like the matzah, we said that we learned, you can have wheat, you have barley, you have spelt, you have rye, you have oats. So too, maror also has many different species. Amar Rav Abba Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Yirakot she'amru hachamim she'adam yotze b'midei chovato b'pesach, kulam nizra'in ba'aruga achat. Meaning all these different types of maror that we said can be yotze on Pesach, you can plant them in one aruga, in one patch. Meaning, there is no kilayim. Meaning, normally we say that you cannot plant two different species in a close proximity to each other, subject to laws of kilayim.
However, these items are all considered the same thing, and therefore in one patch, you have no problem, you can plant them. So come to Gemara and says, Lememra delet pehu mishum kilayim. You mean to tell me that these items are not subject to the laws of kilayim? Mativ Rava. So Rava asks a question. Hazeret v'hazeret galim. Ulshin v'ulshe sadeh. Kirishin v'kirishe sadeh. Kirishin, I think we explained as
leek.
Leek, correct. Kusbar v'kusbar sadeh. What would we call kusbar?
Coriander.
Coriander, okay. Hardal, which would be mustard. Hardal v'hardal misri. V'dalat amisri v'harmutza. All these items, dalat would be also a type of gourd. Harmutza, as she says, is also a type of gourd. Enam kilayim zebaze. All these items, we listed 12 items here. And it says in the statement there that if you crossbreed them, if you plant them together, they're not subject to kilayim. So the Gemara now says, Hazeret v'chazeret galin in. Yeah, only because it's hazeret with hazeret galin. Meaning, it's two types of hazeret, implying hazeret ve'olshin lo. But smashma that hazeret with olshin, no, which means it seems we're pairing them up. Each two items you can plant together. And therefore it's saying the hazeret with the hazeret galin is okay. Olshin of regular and olshin sadeh is okay. Right, implying what? That hazeret with olshin is kilayim. What do you mean? You just told me that all these items we said in the Mishnah are not subject to kilayim. And here it's masma that hazeret and olshin is kilayim. La, I'm sorry. V'chi tema kulu ba'adadi katani lehu. Maybe you'll tell me no. The hadush is it's telling me that you can plant all 12 together. It's not in pairs. Meaning you can take all these 12 items that we just mentioned and put them in aruga, and therefore in the chenamid there's no kilayim by hazeret and ulshin. Gemara says, "Amar Rab zugot ketani." We know that these are subject is in pairs, meaning there's 6 pairs. Each two you can plant together because they're considered similar. Masma that hazeret and ulshin you can't. So Gemara says, "My nizra'in." What did we mean when we said you can plant all these items together? The Amara that I've said, Nizra'in kel khatan, meaning according to the halakha. Which means, if you remember, we learned in Masechet Shabbat, that, exactly, that if you have a box, a field, a grid, 6x6 tefahim, so we say you can plant 5 species. Which means you're able to plant one species on each side and then one in the middle. So that's what we're saying. We're saying that these items, if you want to plant them, you can plant them according to the halakha. Really, there is kilayim. But you can take all these 5 and plant them in the halachically fit-sized field. So the Gemara says, kilchatan? You have to tell me kilchatan? Tanina. Well, I know that already. Aruga shisha tefachim zorin betocha hamisha zaronim. We know already, if you have a field, a box, 6x5 tefachim, you're able to plant in it 5 different types of seeds. Arba al arba ruchot haaruga, 4 on the 4 sides of the field. V'achad v'emsa. And one in the middle. So what are you telling me? I need you to tell me that these 5 over here, if you have the halachic shiur, you can plant them all together? That's the common knowledge. So Gemara says, Ma'u detema hani mile bizra'in. I might have thought that when do we allow to plant 5 species in a 6x6 area? That's only when there's still seeds. Aval bidakot lo. But if they're vegetables, which means items that are not vegetables, zera'im, for example, say wheat. Wheat is not a vegetable. Right? Legumes. Then I would say you get the 5 items in 6x6. However, when it comes to vegetables, I would have said, no, maybe you don't have the heter to plant them in the 6x6, kamash ma'alan. And the hadush is what? That no, even vegetables like maror gets the same law like zinaim, that what? You can plant five items in 6x6. So the Gemara says, the memra di irakot alima mizraim. You mean to tell me that irakot vegetables nurture more from the ground than zira'im? Because you tell me the hadush is irakot. Obviously irakot, if it's a hadush, that means it must nurture from the surrounding ground more than zira'im. And therefore the hadush is that even though it nurtures a lot, halakha says the reason why you have to put the 6x6 is because that's enough distance where each planting will not nurture from each other. And the hadush obviously is that even yirakot it's okay. Implying that what? Yirakot nurture more than zira'im. Gemara says, that's so? Vatenan, kol mine zira'im en zura'im ba'aruga achat. We have a mishnah that says, all types of legumes and seeds you do not plant in one aruga. Kol mine yirakot zura'im ba'aruga achat. Which means this law of the five species in 6x6 was only said by Yirakot. On the contrary, Zira'im you cannot plant. That means what? Yirakot nurture less from the ground than Zira'im. So now we're back to the question again. You told me that what? You could plant these five Yirakot in 6x6. What's the Hadush? And don't tell me that that's the Hadush because we know that already. So the Gemara says, "Ma'u de tema hane maror min zira'im ninu." I would have thought that maybe you consider this maror and give it the status like a zera, like seeds. Kamash ma'lan, kamash ma'lan. And everyone comes to tell me, "No, it's yirakot." For some reason, I would have thought it's considered like zira'im. So the Gemara says, Zira'im sankadatach? Come on, I would have thought that Maror has a deen of Zira'im. Ve'atinan yirakot. The Mishnah clearly calls them yirakot, vegetables. Our Mishnah called them vegetables. Ve'tane bar kapara yirakot. And the bright of bar kapara called them yirakot. Ve'tane debe shemuel yirakot. Again, there's no way I would have thought that these items are considered zira'im. I mean, I have three places already I call it. Yeah, go. So back to the question. What's the hadush? Kabbalah says, hazeret it's tzirichale. The real hadush is on the hazeret. On the four other items, of course it's a yirakot. The fact that you can plant them on the four sides of the field, nope, we know that already. The hadush is how you classify hazeret. Salka da tachamina. What happens to Hazeret? As we learned in the Gemara, the Hasa, when you leave it in the field, the stalk of it ends up becoming like wood, becomes sard. So I would have thought, Nitiv la ravhatfe. I might have thought that since it becomes hard, you have to give it more distance. Because the rule is when something becomes hard like a tree, it nurtures more. And therefore, I might have thought, since this item, when you plant it, it's possible that it can become a hardened, therefore maybe I cannot plant it in a 6x6. Lab Amar Rabbi Yoseh, Rabbi Hanina, didn't Rabbi Yoseh Bar Hanina teach us, Kelach shel kruv shehuksha. You have a kelach, the stalk of a kruv, of let's say the cabbage, that became hardened. Marechivim lo betrova. You have to separate it from the field, from the other species, the shiur of betrova. That she says, what is betrova? Makom ziriat rova hakav. The amount of distance that it would take to plant a quarter of a kav of vegetation. That she continues, chaser ha-mishkan haya shiur lebet satayim. Remember we learned bet satayim, that's the shiur of the mishkan, which was 5,000 square amah. Vechol bet וכל בית קור ובית שאה ובית רובה שגוון הופיעו אותו חשבון. Which means it's based on the fact that 5,000 square amah is a בית סתיים, right? That's shita, it's betzatayim, and all the other measurements are based on that. When you say a half or a rova and all that, so that's the distance basically. But the point is that I would have thought that hazeret, since it's possible to become hard, and when it becomes hard, what's the problem? We know that you have to distance it far away. Alma kevan disofo lakshot yavin eladav hatfe. I would think that what? Since it gets hard, you have to keep it far away. And if I might have thought you can't plant it in 6x6 tefachim, you have to keep it more distance away. Kamash ma'alam, that what? Bottom line, right now when you're planting it, it's not hardened. Right now when you're planting it, it's soft. It's a vegetable like everything else. In a kanime, if it was hard when you planted it, you're right, you wouldn't be able to plant it in 6x6. But the hadush is, even though it's eventually going to come hard, and therefore it's going to nurture more, right now when you're planting it, it's not. Therefore, it is permissible. Comes the Gemara and continues. Yotzin bahen ben lachin ben yevishin. Our Mishnah said that you could be yotze in this maror, whether they are moist or whether they are dried. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar al Hazda. Lo shanu ela bekelach. That which we said you could use them whether they're moist or dry, that's only referring to the stalk. Because the stalk which is thick, even when it dries out, it still has the flavor of maror. However, the leaves which are thinner, when they dry out, they lose the ta'am of maror. Aval be'alin, when it comes to the leaves, lachin in, only when they are moist. Yevishin la, but if they are dry, no. Gemara says, wait. Veha mediketani sefa bekelach shelahin. At the end of the Mishnah said, you're not only yotze with these items, but you also yotze with the stalk. Now, it didn't mention the stalk till the end of the Mishnah, implying that in the beginning of the Mishnah was only talking about leaves. And what did it say in the beginning of the Mishnah? Ben yevishin, ben lachin. So therefore it sounds like it was referring even to leaves. Michlal deresha alin. Must be that Esha was referring to alin. No. Perushe kamifaresh. The Mishnah is just explaining. Ki ketani ben lachin ben yevishin akelach. When the Mishnah said whether it's lach or yavesh, was only referring to kelach, which was the Mishnah said by kelach. Miyotzin b'kelach means that which we said earlier, lachin and yevishin, is only by the kelach. Metive. We have a question. Yotzin bahen, right? You can be yotze with the leaves, ubekelach shelahin, and their stalks, ben lachin, ben yevishin. Go ahead. Whether they are moist, whether they are dry, devre Rabbi Meir. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. V'chamim omrim, lachin yotzin bahem, yeveshin en yotzin bahem. Where Hachamim come along and say, no, you can only be yotze if they're moist, but not if they are dry. Now let's stop for a second. It's clear that Al Mishnah must be going like Rabbi Meir. Because Al Mishnah clearly said what? Yotze ben lachin ben yeveshin. And the Bimeir over here is telling you what? Ben lachin, ben yevishin. And it's Masra over here is telling you what? Even the alin. So how could you tell me the Bimeir of the Mishnah is only referring to the kelachim? And we have a statement of the Bimeir over here, which is mashma, even the leaves. Now let's just finish this braita. Veshavim, everybody agrees, meaning the Bimeir and the Hakamim agree, she yotzin behem kemushin. That if they're kamush, kamush would be, they're not totally dry, they're not totally wet, withered. They're withered. Aval lo kivushin, but not if they are pickled, velo shilukin, and not if they are thoroughly cooked, velo mivushalim, and not if they are regularly cooked. Klalo shel davar, the bottom line rule, kol sheyesh bo ta'am maror, as long as it has a flavor of maror, yotzin bo. Vechol sheyesh bo ta'am maror, en yotzin bo. Also, we go back to the question. Bottom line is bright over his mashma. That the Bimeir that says Yotzin ben Lachin ben Yevishin is referring to everything. So the Gemara says Targema Akelach. You have to squeeze into the braita that it was only referring to the kela, only the stalks, and that's why we explained the Mishnah, and that's what it is.
Tarabanan, en yotzim bahem kimushin. So we have a braita that says an opinion. You're not yotzei if they are kamush. Kamush, we said, are withered. Bishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Sadok, amru yotzim bahem kimushin.
He said, no, you can't be yotzei. So obviously, the braita that we said above was following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Sadok, that said you are yotzei when they are kamush.
Ba'er ami barhamma. Ma'u shi yotzei adam yedei chovato b'maror shel ma'asid sheni birushalayim.
Go back to a similar question that we had by Matzah. Now we're asking it by Maror. You have Ma'asir Sheni, Maror. Now, Minat Torah, there is no such thing as Ma'asir Sheni by Maror. Ma'asir Sheni only applies to the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, the seven species. So obviously we're talking about Midrabanan. It's rabbinical. Midrabanan, you have to take Ma'asir on even Yirakot, non-species, Zayimini. Good. So now it's Ma'asir Sheni, it's Kodesh. You're in Yerushalayim because you can only eat it in Yerushalayim. So the Sheila is, can you be Yotzei Maror Ma'asir Sheni in Yerushalayim on Pesach? Alibad Rabbi Akiva lo tefailach. According to Rabbi Akiva, you have no question. Hashta b'matzah de'oraita nafik b'marod l'baran mevaya. Which is, if you remember, Rabbi Akiva's opinion was that even matzah of Ma'asir Sheni, which is Ma'asir Sheni de'oraita, you Yotzei. Now, even though Rabbi Akiva was the one that brought the pasuk Moshmotechem, that teaches us you only yotze on items that can be eaten anywhere, so he explained that since Ma'asir Sheni that entered Jerusalem, if it would become Tameh, you would be able to redeem it and eat it anywhere, so therefore it's considered Moshmotechem. And therefore that's a deoraita. Kol Sheken, Kal Vachomer in Maror, which is only Ma'asir Sheni Drabbanan, certainly Rabbi Akiva would allow you to be Yotzeh. If my Ma'asir Sheni, which is Ma'adeh Oraita, you have to use Yerushalayim, he allows you to use it. So certainly Maror, which is Drabbanan. Not to give Mit, to give Ma'asir, exactly. To give it is Drabbanan.
Right.
The Hayuv is Drabbanan.
Ki Tiv'ela Kalibad Rabbi Yosef Gilili.
The question is, according to Rabbi Yosef Gilili. Why? My. If you remember, by matzah he said, you're not yotzeh b'ma'asir sheni. So could be, I'll tell you, because that is deoraita. And therefore, with deoraita, you have to eat it in Yerushalayim, and with deoraita, therefore he was ma'amir. Maybe I'll tell you maror, since it's only drabbanan, maybe even Rabbi Yosef will be lenient, you can be yotzeh. Or dilma, called tiknu rabbanan ke'en deoraita tikun. Or maybe I'll tell you, no, when the rabbis make their laws, they fashion it modeling the Torah law. And therefore, just like in the Torah law, you're not Yotzeh, so too in the Rabbanan law, you're not Yotzeh. So that's the question according to Rabbi Yosef HaGilili. And therefore, just like matzah can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, according to Rabbi Yosef HaGilili, and Maror is the same thing. So therefore I'll tell you, you cannot be Yotzeh with Maror because you need Moshmotechem. And just like by Matzah, you don't have Moshmotechem because he doesn't go with this business of Tameh that you can redeem and take it out. So then we'll say the same thing by Maror that you're not Yotzeh. So the Gemara answers, Amar Abba, Mistabra, Masa Umaror. Meaning that she says, Hukshu Yahad. Meaning, they are compared to each other. Because the Pasuk says, Al-Matzot Umrorim. And as she concludes, V'chihechi de-matzah yesh'aleh Hashem ma'asir sheni ve'lo nafik peh, Af-paror namesh yesh'aleh Hashem ma'asir sheni lo nafik peh. Just like matzah, that's called ma'asir sheni, you're not yotzeh, according to Rabbi Yosef Gilili. It's matzah maror, it's a package. And therefore maror also, if it's ma'asir sheni, according to Rabbi Yosef Gilili, you're not yotzeh bo. And therefore you cannot fulfill your obligation. So that's the answer to that question. Comes the Gemara, comes the Mishnah. En shorin etam mursan letarnegolim. Okay, we're discussing on Pesach. You want to soak the bran. The bran is let's say, after you take the chaff off of the wheat, so there's still a shell on the wheat. That shell is edible. It's usually given to the animals. So what do you want? You want to soften it. So the Mishnah is telling you, you cannot soak the bran that's attached to the wheat for the chickens. Why? Because you're concerned when you're soaking it, what's going to happen? It's going to become chametz. And the Hiddush is that the bran itself can become chametz. Okay? Aval choltim. But you're allowed to place it in boiling hot water. Why? Because the boiling hot water will stop it from becoming chametz. Ha'isha. Lo tishre et ha-mursan. A lady is not allowed to soak mursan. Again, this was also be bran. Shetolich biyadeha lemerhas. To bring it with her to the bathhouse. It seems the ladies used to use this like as a soap. Or as a, you know, use it a cleaning agent. So therefore, she cannot soak it before she goes to the bathhouse because she's concerned it's going to become chametz. Aval shafahi bibsara yavesh. But she could take dry bran and rub it against her flesh. The hiddush is, even though there might be some moisture on her flesh, that's not enough to make it chametz. Lo yil'os adam hitin v'yaniyach al makato. A person should not chew wheat kernels, and then after he chews it, place the paste on his wound. It seems that was medicinal. Why? Because by chewing it, now you're getting it moist, you can cause it to become chametz. Because it indeed becomes chametz. Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. Elu devarim she'en ba'in lidei chimutz. The following items cannot become chametz. Meaning, after you do these things to the wheat, and then you drop it in water, cannot become chametz. Ha'afui. You baked something. Once you baked it, finished. Even if you drop it in water afterwards, it's baked already. Cannot become chametz. Finished. That she says, lechem, mishene'efa, kol ma sheshiryu b'mayim eno machmitz. Once you bake the matzah and it's baked, you drop it in water and it cannot become chametz anymore. Ve'amivushal, something that is cooked. Ve'halut shechalto b'rotchin. Or, let's say you put it in boiling hot water, so now it cannot become chametz anymore. So the Gemara says, mivushal? What do you mean? Cooking? Ademivashel le'machma. Mevashel usually means you're putting it when the water is cold. And the water is heating up. In the interim, till the water heats up, it's going to become chametz. As opposed to chalita, the water is boiling already. So when you throw it into boiling water, I understand it won't become chametz. But bishul, it should be chametz. In the interim, till it boils up, it's going to turn into chametz. Amar Papa says, you're right. It means like this. Ha'afui shebishloka amar. Meaning, something that was baked and then subsequently cooked, that's not going to be chametz. But you're right. Cooking alone will make it chametz. Tanya. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Kemach shenafal letocho delef. Let's say you have a container of flour, and you have a leak in the roof, and the water is dripping into the container of flour. Afilu kol hayom kulo, even if it's dripping the whole day, eno ba lidei chimutz, it will not make it chametz. That she says is because the fact that it's constantly dripping, it's as if the kema is working. And the rule is, whenever the dough is being worked, for example, if you're kneading it, you can knead it all day long, it'll never become chametz. So the fact that it's constantly dripping into the kema, it's considered as if it's working, and therefore does not have a chance to become chametz. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, Vehu de'adid tif lehadeh tif. meaning it has to be consecutively dripping. Teeth, teeth, teeth. It means drip, drip, drip after drop. Okay. Meaning that she says ve'en shahut ben time, and there's no space, time in between. Amri debir of Shila. They said in the Bet Midrash of Shila, Vatika shade. Vatika is a certain type of food that is made with flour. Kibra says that Tanya Vatika Asur. What do you mean? We learned that Vatika is Asur. Lakasha. The one that's permissible is the one that you make with oil and salt. Since we learned earlier that oil is considered meperot, fruit juice, and meperot enam machmitzim. Therefore, if you mix the flour and you make this concoction called vatika with oil and salt and flour, it cannot become chametz. But if you make the vatika with salt and water, obviously the water can make it chametz, therefore it would be asur. Last point. Amar mor zutra. Lo limhe inish kidra bekimha de abishna. A person should not smear the inside of a pot with dried flour. Rashi, three lines on the bottom. Lo limhe inish kedera, shemeavin tabshil a kedera. They want to thicken, let's say, the food that's in the kedera, in the pot. So what do? Al yedesh shememakim kemach letochot. They smear some flour on the side of the pot. Va'afilu bekemha de'abshuna. Even if it's dried flour, now what is dried flour? You took flour that was moist, you dry roasted it in the oven. It's like baked. And we just said that after you bake something, it cannot become chametz. Still they're telling you, don't take the dry roasted flour and smear it on the side of the pot. Why? Bottom line of the Gemara. Dilma lo bashil shapir. We're worried that maybe you didn't dry roast it fully. And therefore, what's going to happen when you put it with the water, meaning in the pot with the tafshil, the ateli de'imuz, it is going to come to chametz. And therefore, there is going to be a concern because, now, we have to point out, the food that you're putting into it is not hot. It's getting hot. Because if it was halut, if it was boiling, then it would be permissible because we said halita doesn't cause the item to become chametz. So since it's the derech of the tafshil to be cool and it heats up gradually, that's the concern. You're right that you didn't dry roast it fully, and therefore it's going to become chametz. Baruch Amen.